His grace is that abundantness that he gives us salvation that we could not earn for ourselves and we are not worthy of. The grace of God, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with echo will resound, and all the earth shall hear. Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. We've looked at who our God is as seen by the scripture attributing things to describe him. God is defined as self-existing. He is defined as independent. He's defined as infinite. He's defined as eternal. God is the most perfect being. He is the creator of all others. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter 11. Romans 11, beginning with verse number 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Genesis 1:1 says, God, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And that word in the Hebrew language is Elohim, for God. It is called a multi-plural noun, a unified word. It is the description in itself of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. For all three had part in all of the creation of all things. The psalmist wrote many beautiful things about God and about the creation. In Psalm 97, I will read to you when I get there. And I bet the guys will have it up on the wall for you. 97, verse 1 through 6. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night uttereth knowledge. When you look up at the sky, you see the clouds, you see the beauty. When it's a blue sky, you see the beauty of the white clouds. You see the danger of the dark clouds when they are rumbling and coming toward you to bring rain and lightning and storm and wind. And God's in charge of all of that. In Psalm 145, Psalm 145, I will extol thee, my God, O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wonderful works. Men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth through all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, and to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Our God is righteous and merciful and gracious. He forgives sins and iniquities of man through Jesus Christ, who paid the price for them on Calvary's cross. I could read another 20 verses, but let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Kind of be our text, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians and Corinthians both begin with a C, don't they? Chapter 1 and verse 12 of Colossians. Chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We live in this present evil world under the darkness and domain of Satan. He is the unholy god of this present world. But Christ came and died on the cross and defeated him, rising again from the dead to give us everlasting life. And he paid the price for all our sins. One day he will call us out of this world to come up to be with him forevermore. And we long for that day. We wait for that day for the promise of a new body. My body is broken and pain results. I have arthritis in many places. I have war wounds. I have motorcycle wrecks. I have broken bones, had major surgeries. I had a physician astounded when he took my shirt off and looked at my back with all the scars from things. He said, "What in the world have you done?" I said, "Well, the right side is war wounds and the left side is motorcycle wrecks." And as I tell everybody what I heard from old people, if I had known it was going to hurt this bad, I would have took better care of myself when I was coming along. We read through verse 14. Let's continue. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? That's Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Do you dwell and think on any time during the day what God has done for you, what Christ suffered for you, what provision he has made for you? What you have to look forward to is a Christian coming to you. Our God is the one true living being, infinite in his being and perfection. He is pure spirit, invisible, immutable, eternal, almighty, all wise, absolute in holiness and righteousness. That's our God. I think about God, I can't talk about like I'm proud of him. I fall on my face to worship him. He's worthy of our adoration. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our witness to others. Can I tell you about our God? How good he is and how good he has been to me. He's gracious and merciful, long-suffering. Do you know why God is long-suffering with man? So that men may be saved. God could have brought his judgment at any time he would desire to bring it. But he has put it off in 2 Peter 3, 9 through about verse 18. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and the heavens on fire in judgment. And he will bring judgment upon this earth that he has warned about since the beginning of time. He has given illustrations of it in the universal flood that came upon all the earth. He has given examples of it when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness and their sin. And God has brought judgment even to his people, the nation of Israel. He delivered them from Egypt, but then in the wilderness when they worshiped idols and murmured and complained against God, he destroyed many of them in that place. God has brought judgment, and he will yet bring a complete and full judgment upon all who do not know him as their Savior. That's why we preach on salvation so much. It is so vital that you know for sure that you are saved, and you give God praise and thanks and want to serve him because of all that he has done for you. God stands in glory and majesty and is in need of nothing. God doesn't want our money. He doesn't need it. He knows that we need to give, because if we give, he will bless us for giving. And what we have will go much farther because we've been faithful to give back to God. He is all sufficient. He's chosen to love us and to make redemption a plan for man. God looked down in pity upon sinful man and his failures. And Christ came and died for our sins that we might have everlasting life. We can become a part of the family of God. I like that song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Through man seeing himself sinful and lost and away from God and in danger of hell, by faith in what Jesus did by dying on the cross, man can put his faith in God and be saved by God's mercy and love and grace. He can deliver us from our sins. Look at Romans chapter 10 in your Bibles. Romans 10, verse 9, God's plan of redemption. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is Jesus your Lord? I know Jesus is Lord. But the question, is he my Lord? Have I called upon him and put my faith and trust in him and him alone? We saw in the book of Colossians that we will be presented faultless before his presence and his glory with exceeding joy. Christ will present us as his followers and faithful ones that have served him, and we'll be rewarded for what we do for God. God's grace and mercy is extended to man that any man might be saved. But if man rejects God's gift, then he will suffer God's justice. It will come upon those who reject. God can forgive a repentant sinner injustice because no matter what you've done, Christ paid the price for it. And God can forgive you, and God will still be righteous and holy and just, even when he forgives wicked sinners. I was preaching in the prison one day. A man came to me and said, "Is so-and-so in your congregation out there when you preach?" And I said, "Yes, he was." He sat on the front row. He said, "Amen," while I was preaching. I said, "I've heard that he got saved here in the prison." And he said, "That man can't be saved. He killed my brother." The man hated him. He didn't want him to be forgiven. He's not the only one that feels that way. There are many people that don't think people should be forgiven, that they should find the grace of God. Listen, if a person committed 1,000 sins or he committed one sin, he needs to be saved and forgiven of his sins. And God can forgive the worst of sinners. He has the power to cleanse us and make us whole. In Acts 17:31, the scripture says that the resurrection of Christ is the proof of the judgment to come. In Acts 17 and verse 31, "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, "We'll hear thee again on this matter." That is still the same attitude that people have in the world today. Some mock, some scoff at we believing the promises of the Bible, looking for the Lord to come. In Psalm 103, "Know ye that the Lord, it is he is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Sheep, we are the flock that belongs to God. Christ is the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. Christ is the chief shepherd. He will come again, and he'll reward those who have shepherded his people. Christ is the great shepherd. There is none greater than he. In Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I mean, you can't find a much better description of the sufferings of the cross that Jesus went through to pay for our sins. "God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." Romans 8 and verse number 32. Because Christ died and paid the price of our debt, he has purchased us with his own blood. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Not often do we think about the fact that we've been purchased. We belong to him. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." If you're saved, you belong to the Lord. He dwells within us, and we belong to him because he's paid the price for our souls. Now we can rejoice in that we are kept by the power of God, Peter said. Thank God that we are kept, because we'd wander away. We'd make ourselves lost if we could by the sins that we commit. But we can't be lost because we're kept by God. We're held in His hand, and no man can pluck us out of His hand. So what do we want to do? Worship Him, praise Him, serve Him, and tell others about Him. How good is our God. The blessing from Numbers 6 says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Do you have that peace? Oh, what a blessed peace it is that God gives. It's sweet. You can lay down and rest at night without fear. You can find forgiveness when you stumble and fall and do something that you know was wrong to do, but you went ahead and did it anyway. God has not ceased to love you because He sees you through the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read you a few verses. I don't know if you guys can keep up. I'm going to go through this quick. That God is eternal, from Psalm 103, verse 17. "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children." It is boundless, in Psalm 108:4. "For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth to unto the clouds." Prolonging life, Lamentations 3:22. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Encouraging for us to repent. Joel 2:13, "Rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth Him of the evil." He forgives sin in Matthew 7:18. I'm not sure that's Matthew. I think that's Micah. "Who is God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He makes salvation possible," Titus 3:5, "not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Proverbs 3:3 says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Proverbs 11:17, "The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh." Micah 6:8 says, "He that showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." In Matthew 5:7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." We ought to believe His word and praise His name and worship Him in bowing before Him in our prayer and serve Him and witness of Him. When I eat my meals, I say, "Father, hallowed be thy name. You have provided for me, and I praise you and I thank you." I ask you to intervene on behalf of our prayer list in our church, and I name many of you daily as I eat. I'm not doing a great thing. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. And God can hear our prayers and will respond, because we are His children and He loves us. God loves you in a greater way than anybody else in the world can love you, and more than we can turn around and love Him. But we love Him because He first loved us. For all God has done, what can we do? Well, we should seek to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a follower seeking to be like His Lord. Let us lift up His person and give Him glory and praise and witness. God exercises supreme authority over all. Look in your Bibles at 2 Chronicles 29. Second Chronicles 29, verse 11. The reign of Hezekiah, good king over Israel. 29:11 says, "My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister unto him and burn incense." This is the priesthood that the king is telling them and reminding them that God has chosen them to stand before him and to offer him praise. Look back at chapter 20. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Look at verse 15. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." Praise and adoration to God, believing that he will deliver us, believing that he will protect us, believing that no matter what the numbers against us, we have God on our side. Psalm 107, you ought to mark and read that whole psalm pretty regularly. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Now, if you're the redeemed of the Lord, I want you to say amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Praise God. We should tell others about this. In that psalm, he talks about we're redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He talks about the plight of the prisoner relying upon God, the plight of the sick, the plight of the sea voyager in a storm. Let men praise God. There is a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice which is more than liberty. There is welcome for the sinner and more graces for the good. There is mercy with the Savior. There is healing in his blood. Let's think on this week. Let's think on this today. How good is our God? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the faithfulness of your people being here. Pray that something that's been said will be a blessing to your people and will help them in their walk with you, that we'll be strong witnesses for you to tell others of your love and mercy to us and of your grace that you have extended, how they could be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a good news message to share. Tell others about how.